Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Johnson. Good morning to you and all the listeners, Barbados. I must say that I have to salute Brass Tacks because this program is second to none. But that's not my main point. I got three little points to bring. Question for you. Does it still have price controls in Barbados?
So there's never been price control in Barbados in the last maybe 20 years or so. The only price that I know that's controlled in Barbados is gasoline. I can't think of another one that is. That falls under the ambit of the government, and they print in the newspaper from time to time when they move the price up or down, and the retailers can't change that price. That's the only thing I know that's price controlled in Barbados. I don't know another one that is. And that's over 20 years.
Okay, the reason I'm saying that is because it seems that the supermarkets them doing whatever they like and there's no recourse. But that's not my main point that I'm bringing to you this morning, Mr. Johnson, is that my wife seems to be a lady before the country. She's a bred and born Barbadian. She lived here almost all of her working adult life, except 6 years out of it. Both of us are seniors. She lived in the U.S. for 6 years. She didn't like it there. She came back home. She was working everything before she went there. She came back. She continued to work here until she got laid off. She made an application for old age pension contributions for old age pension. They sent her a check, one check. Then they were inquiring about where or what she was doing over the last years and things like that. So she told her she was living in the state for 6 years and she came back home, continued to work, and she named the place that she was working at when she came back home. Then they sent us a letter and said that she had to get a letter from the Social Security office in the state stating that she don't or she do get contributions from there. Mm-hmm. She never or she don't get no sort of Social Security from the state. We wrote them a letter, sent us a letter, and they sent it to her old address where she was living in the state. My sister sent it, the letters to us here. We carry it to the INS, and they say that is not what they wanted. Because what they wanted, we wrote back the Social Security office in the States. We called them, we sent email, we called them, no response. Month go, month come, no response. We went back to the INS and we tell them that we're not getting no response from the Social Security office there. After a while, they sent us from the INS a letter, sent her a letter, saying that they have no further interest in her request for contribution, old age pension contribution. Both of us are seniors. We went to our political representative and we put the case to him. And he said to us that he cannot help us. We have to get a letter. We said when we write letters, we even got a letter, a copy letter we wrote, and show him the letter we wrote to the Social Security office there in the States. And he said to us, we have to get the letter from there. So how are we going to get it? We can't get it. We write, we call, we get no response from there. We write, and we try, we can't get nothing. I even then turn and write a letter to the Prime Minister. I know the Prime Minister has a very full, and I don't believe, and I can say that I am 85% sure that that letter haven't reached the Prime Minister herself. That probably get intercepted somewhere belong before we get to her, because she's not that sort of person to not have no sort of response in no way or false, because they know she's that sort of down to earth person. So I don't believe that you let her reach her. But wherever we turn, and my concern is that I'm older than my wife. I have both seniors. I used to drive taxi at the harbor with cruise ships, no more work with taxi work. I'm home not working, so I can't carry her. And I'm very, very concerned that if anything happened to me today, how is she going to survive? She's not a young woman to you know, do what, you know, whatever else. And how is she going to survive? That's my biggest concern. If anything happens, I can't carry her. I know she's able to carry myself because there's no work in the taxi business, and I go home all the time. How is she going to survive? And when you is born, first born and bred here in Barbados, citizen, and people could tell you that they have no interest in your concern, what do you want her to do? Put her in a boat with a 1 day's worth of bread and water and put her out in the Atlantic and say, how will you survive, or just dead? That's what I'm concerned about, Mr. Yeah. I'm quite sure that even the INS or my political representative, you know, we have ambassadors in the States. They could have even make a call to them as well. Call the INS there, the Social Security office there. We give them her Social Security number, everything, her ID number, her INS number, all every information, our address, all of our contact numbers we give. And, you know, they could they could get information from the Social Security office there in the States that we can't get.
How long has this been going on, sir?
Well, since 2015.
When? 2015?
Yes, 15. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No.
And you went into the National Insurance here and you put all that information to them?
Yeah. We met there, several calls there to them. We went there personally a lot more than once. And then we get a letter from them stating that they have no further interest in her to them because she haven't produced the documents they asked for. How we produce it if we don't get nothing from the States? For the 6 years she was there, she don't have no high forward job to get no big salaries. So I believe that she don't have enough points there for the time she was there. Because even some of the time she was there, she wasn't even working. So she don't believe she have enough points there to get Social Security.
Sir, you see, this, sir, is one of the challenges that I can't tell you at what level it should be addressed, because similarly, the guys in Liat who are fighting this issue with having paid contributions in one country and double taxation and whether or not the payments were made and how you keep abreast of these things. So these are the things that would cause young persons, even middle-aged persons who are going to work in various jurisdictions and hoping to return to the place of their birth to retire, will run into when you don't know if contributions are made, if you still qualify, what information you need, from where do you need it, and to help you through those situations. I don't know that there's any particular person or department at the National Insurance here in Barbados that handles that, whether there is an institution or organization or a person, a government department that can assist, I do not know. What I would like you to do is leave some contact information with our producer. In case someone calls from the NIS to ask for your information, because from time to time when we have complaints made about issues with National Insurance, I would get a call from, or get a message via WhatsApp from someone who would say, give me that information, let's see if I can help. So hopefully it would be, you'll be able to find some kind of assistance, because I think 5 years is, or more than 5 years, 2015 to now is more than five.
Mr. Johnson, when we was getting 40 COVID, when there were two ships coming, mm-hmm. I would carry her financially.
Yeah, I understand that. But now, why it's called for better or for worse.
And you know, Mr. Johnson, people like myself that over the years that in the middle and senior years that have, you know, worked hard and save up some money for you to get old to retire also. But for the last time, that was what we was living on, my savings for old age retirement. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mr. Johnson, if you keep subtracting, there come a time when there's nothing, I don't add. There come a time
when
there's nothing.
When you get to zero and minus, yeah.
And when it starts getting down that area, then you start getting mental problems. It start bothering you. And for mental stress, then, you know, physical and all sorts of other things are going to come on, you know, call up on you due to age and whatnot. I home, you know, we home, you know, doing nothing. There's no work with a taxi now, which everybody knows. You know, and I'm very concerned about her because if the Lord take, I'm older than her, we'll be both as teenagers. If the Lord take me, you know, first how's she going to survive? That's my biggest concern. How could I rest in peace knowing that you know, she's cramping or whatever?
Sir, I hear you. And I hope, as I said, as I am speaking to you, the message pops up. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. I'm trying to understand what the gentleman is saying about overseas pension and his wife. Please ask him to call me directly. And the numbers are given. So if you go back to the producer will give you the numbers. And I told you, I was fairly certain that young lady monitors and responds. And good morning to you, ma'am. I'm passing the information on to you. And hopefully you can assist the gentleman. Brass Tacks works from time to time. And when it does, I'm always happy to say that it does. Good morning. Hello. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I'm calling in connection with listening authority. I have a son that was learning to drive. Here's my question. His test date was the 20th of last month. His permit would have expired now the 24th of last month. The country shut down before he could have done his test. Inquiring about it, they say that I would have to renew the permit before he can do the test. But my question is, it was not of his fault that he did not do the test, so why would I have to pay them now to renew the permit? But he went up there. Okay, I said, okay, I gave him the money, and he went up there. He said that they told him that, he can't pay to renew the permit because there's nobody to take the cash. But he went there, and he saw people going out to do tests. So he called me, and I said to him, ask a question about, you know, how soon could he get a date to do his test. Right? Or you have to renew the permit before you could do the test. My point is, it's not his fault that his permit expired and he did not do his test. So why do I have to pay no licensing authority again for a permit?
Ma'am, other than the fact that permits have to be paid for, I can't give you another answer. That I really can't. There is nothing I know that says that you can or cannot do, depending on the reason, unless the government says, gives the licensing authority the permission to waive the fee, they will charge the fee. They don't have power to do it on their own. And I don't know that anything has been said that the fees will be transferable or anything like that. So that's the only thing I suppose I can say.
Right, but I already paid.
Ma'am, I know. I understand that.
I already paid for him to have to do the test.
I understand that.
That is just frustrating. Because I work in the hospitality industry, and right now I am home. Actually, I'm home on holiday, but things are not great there right now. And that is money that I gotta be looking for.
Ma'am, I understand your plight. As I said, you know, one of the things about government finances is that word called fear, as in F-A-I-R, does not factor into it at any level. Unfortunately, there are some agencies that allow you to, you know, ask for bly, engage, and hope, but there are others that don't have the power so to do. So if you have to pay, they will tell you, well, you have to pay. And they may understand your plight, they may feel for you, but if there's nothing that allows them to do it, they won't do it. They can't do it. They're going to get into trouble for trying to do it.
I understand.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, sometimes too, the attitude, how some people do, how some people really respond to you.
I agree. I will tell you.
But
sometimes we have to weigh in the balance that sometimes they may have faced three or four people whose attitudes have not been nice towards them. And so therefore they're a little agitated by the time you get to them. Sometimes, right, I know when we feel the pinch, we feel the pinch. There are times that I've gone to places to do business, and I see frustration on the face of the person who's behind the counter.
Yeah.
And if you ask them what's wrong, they'll tell you the computer system ain't working, something has gone wrong, they're trying their best, but so they come across a little rough and rugged. And sometimes after facing four people who shout at you, the fifth person will get rough up, even if they come quietly. So I know that sometimes the attitude is wrong. Sometimes, you know, they may have issues that they're dealing with that cause them to take it out on you. But ma'am, I can only hope that in, you know, your complaint, I know it won't be the only one. And hopefully, there'll be a good response, but you know, the rules don't allow them to bend it, and that's what happens. I just hope it doesn't throw your son off too much. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I am calling in connection. I don't know if I am in the right area right now, but I don't know what y'all are talking about.
You talk about anything.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm concerned about the care packages again. Now, I live in St. Stephen's Hill, Phillips Road to be exact, right? Now, there are a lot of elderly people in this area that really, really, really would welcome a care package, right? Now, on Sunday, some people came out, and they only give to certain houses. And, you know, it is disgusting because there's a young lady, she is not all there. She has a husband, yes, but she and a stepson. But they are really, really, really in need of a care package, right? As I said, there's a lot of elderly people, right? But from the time that it was on the media that you should register, these are people that registered. But then, even my mom, she's 91, okay? And she was told her name is not on the package, on the list. Mind you, they stopped in front of her house. And when she looked at her, she asked a question. She realized it was those people. And when she looked at her, she asked a question if they have one for her and her name. They told her, your name is not on the list. Then there's another fella, he doesn't work. He's a pensioner as well. And they told him the same thing. Now, I think that for the young people, they get packages, right? But the older ones that really would welcome a package, I think it is really unfair. And I would like if the relevant authorities can look into that matter for me. Right?
Ma'am, two things.
Mm-hmm.
What's the area you say you're calling from?
St. Stephen's Hill.
Okay. I have one here from Britain's Cross Road.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one from Bel Air Cross Road in St. Philip. And they talk about big houses in the terrace. They probably did not know there was a district to the left and people need help. And then there's another one where someone asked about the number to register. I don't know what the issue with care packages is. I've seen messages here saying that some people get better packages than others. The package is not adequate. Complaints about things in it, close to expiry dates, all sorts of comments about care packages.
Uh-huh.
One of the, and that's why I started about talking about messages and when you message. It was said that there was supposed to be a registration process, that people would register and care packages would deliver to them.
Yeah.
Then there was a press conference, or more than one, where the Prime Minister said everyone who needs a package will get one or should get one. And that seemed to open the floodgates, and everybody decided, you know, care packages were to be delivered to everybody. And then the accusations that are so much a part of our daily lives began. These people bringing package to people they like, some people getting package every day. In the midst of the lockdown, when no place was supposed to be opened, there was a WhatsApp message saying, the lady with the shop on the corner getting care packages every day and putting it up for sale. Now, if the shop's supposed to be closed, I don't know again put up for sale in a shop or how the person knew. Here's the problem, ma'am. If we're going to distribute care packages based on registration, then let's do so. If we're going to be delivering care packages based on need, we'll have to determine how we figure out what is need. Because if you have, as you say, a young person with three children, is that person in need? But if you also have an old person who is not working, who is depending on their children to bring something for them, and the children can't come because they're not working or they're in lockdown or whatever, is that person not also in need? And who makes that determination? The man on the truck, the man driving the truck, the person who sent the man with the truck. That's the problem when you have, I don't want to say too many cooks in the broth, but too many messages being relayed to the public at the same time. And it is causing more frustration than it seems to be assisting. And I don't understand why it is not taken into hand firmly. A message sent to the public that says, look, here is what we are doing. Maybe this is what has gone wrong. Here is how we plan to fix it. This is the time frame in which we plan to fix it. The people driving the truck have a list, and this is the list they will follow. If you, because, ma'am, if you have a house that got 12 people renting rooms in it, how you do you determine how to distribute a care package to that house? Because from the outside, it looks like a house. How do you know you got 12 rooms in there, or 10 rooms, or 6 rooms with 2 people in each? How do you know? This process needs to be fixed. Because I can hear the frustration, I get the messages, and every day a different district comes up. Something is wrong with the distribution method and the message.
It's wrong.
And we need to fix it. I don't know who to appeal to, but I hope your appeal reaches it right here. I think we need to fix it.
Because, as I say, my mom, she is 91, yes. But my brother takes care of her, okay? But there are some other people in the district that I think that they would welcome a care package. They would. But, and then when you see the young people that maybe only have one child, as you said, they may have two or three, but there are young people that only have one or two children, and they work, they can get around to do what they have to do. But the older people, as I tell you, there's one family that she, I think she really, really, really would welcome a care package, okay? And it's not her alone. It is her and three other people in the house, but they're all not very well, right? So none of them, I don't think, can work, right? But they would really welcome the care package, okay?
Okay.
And I want to say thank you for your time for listening. I was calling for the longest time, but I couldn't get through.
Well, I've listened, and hopefully it will make a difference. I thank you.
Thank you too.
You're welcome. Bye. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Message says, Dennis, there seems to be different practices because when the BDF came up in my area, they delivered to every house, and some of my neighbors told them, no, I took the package and gave it to a family I know was in need. Okay. Brass Tacks, good morning. Someone asked, what about the Fair Trading Commission dealing with the issue of licensing authority? Fair Trading Commission does not deal with licensing authority issues, sir or madam. We believe things about our institutions that are not necessarily so. Eh? Fair Trading Commission does not deal with that matter. Unless they change the regulations or the laws concerning the Fair Trading Commission. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. I am calling because I guess I'm at my wit's end. I know that we're in the midst of COVID, and more so, persons are really concerned about their health. I live in a district, and since last year, I've had someone painting a car. I've called the Director of Environmental Protection. They told me they've suspended all requests or all issues or problems and that kind of stuff. They don't have the manpower. I've called the police on three separate occasions. They told me it don't have anything to do with them. It's not a police matter. I've called the Ministry of Health. Can't seem to get anybody to help me. I've also called the polyclinic that's near me. And up to now, I still cannot get any relief. All of these chemicals are coming into my house on a daily basis. And I, as I say, I'm at my wit's end. I do not know who to call, what to do. I would just like somebody out there who could assist me in this matter to give me some kind of guidance. Because when you tell me it's COVID and I can't leave home, I can't go by a family member or whatnot, and I have to stay home, and you're still smelling these chemicals on a daily basis in a location where there are only houses, it's quite frustrating, and my eyes are burning me. I'm feeling like I want to faint, I want to vomit, and the police tell me, you know, stop calling them. It's no matter for us. Where do I go then?
What's the nearest polyclinic in your area, you know?
Yes, I call the Winston Scott Polyclinic this
And what
morning.
Did they tell you?
It has nothing to do with them. That is the is for the Environmental Protection Department. Mm-hmm. I called them. They told me they're short of staff. They're not sending out anybody to investigate anything. So what do I do? What do we do here? That's my problem. I understand it's COVID. I can't get up and say, okay, I'm going to go down the road by a family member, because you're not supposed to be going at other person's houses.
Ma'am?
What's next? And the police is not dealing with it. They've come three times. Places and just let me know, oh, the person just paid in a car. And I was like, how is it that I live in an area where there are only houses and all the same continuously, day, night, morning, all the same is coming through my house and there's nothing that could be done about it? Who do I speak to?
Ma'am, I don't know. You've called all the places I could think of off the top of my head.
To me as well. So if the police say they're not doing anything about it, who do I call? Who do I beseech for some type of peace? You can't go sit and exercise. This ain't burning you. What is next? Somebody help me. What is next? What's the next step?
I hope someone else can answer you, ma'am, because really, I can't. I really don't know.
Is it possible that I could leave my number off air that somebody
Yes, you can leave it with the producer. Leave it with the producer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Somebody said to me, Dennis, you got this one wrong. If the lady already paid for the test and the government department stopped testing because of the pandemic, by law, that payment should be honored or returned to her. Barbados is not a banana republic. Sir, you tell that to the licensing authority. You told the lady she has to pay them. And when they listen to you, I will gladly take my licks. I hear I get it all the time, so including times when I don't know, so fine.